We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just mean, saving the world one soundbite at a time. Man, text lines just blew up. I got to get a few of these before we go to the break or I'll never catch up. And I got a caller on the line already. So let me just grab that real quick there, Big Rig. I'll go ahead and take line one, Alan from Hartsel. Hey, Alan, how you doing?
I'm up riding breathing again.
Outstanding.
Here's how one person could change the line of thought in election. Do you remember a man named Mark Robinson?
By chance. Help me out.
North Carolina. He stood his ground several years ago in the city council in Charlotte, North Carolina, because of firearm and gang-related stuff. He ran for... They wouldn't let him talk. He was supposed to have 2 minutes. He had about 10. So they decided that he was going to run. He ran for city council, later ran for state house, and then he ran for lieutenant governor and became lieutenant governor. Last night, he won his Republican primary to become the governor of the state of North Carolina.
I did see that. I didn't realize who we were talking about. He's outstanding. I've watched him give speeches. That guy fires me up.
He did. He got the whole... the whole local. He won his election 65 to, I think it was 32 last night.
Listen,
I thought, good gracious.
That guy.
One man made that big a difference.
Yeah, that's outstanding. That's one guy who just got active and got busy, and now look where he is. And that's an amazing story. You're right, Alan. Thanks for that. I appreciate that very much.
It took several years for him to get to this point, but he finally made it. I thought that, but the reason I was interested in it. I was up there. I used to go into Charlotte regularly. And I went in there several years ago, and it was a crime. They were going to take everybody's gun, no matter what, if you had a permit or not. Completely banned guns. And then he stood up and said, you're going to take my gun because I have no felonies. The only thing I'd ever had was a speeding ticket. But now you're going to take my gun, but you won't go to the south side where police officers are being fired at and shot at.
Yeah.
But he said, okay, I'm going to change things. And he got active, and now where's he at? But it took several years.
It did.
But he stood his ground.
It did. Alan, thanks for the call, man. I appreciate you. That's very cool. Yeah, that guy, if you want to get fired up, and Mark Robinson, the guy who just got the nomination for governor of North Carolina, is exactly what the Democrats are scared to death of. He is a solid Black Republican. I mean, that guy, when he gets up there, he fires up a crowd. He stirs them up. He is red meat and potatoes for conservatism, and it's just awesome. Appreciate the call, Alan. A couple of text messages here real quick. Let's see there. Little Bird from Coleman says, concerning our election, Texas population has grown, cannot be denied. They should have more electoral votes because of influx, of course. Government approved already. I'm not sure what we're talking about here, Little Bird, but thank you. Marshall from Dubai says, glad to hear you're back on the air. And then he says he put together a meme for me, which I'm looking. Oh, wow. has Mitch McConnell's face superimposed over Nikki Haley's body. Says she's basically Mitch McConnell in a skirt. Oh, wow. Bill from Huntsville that says, well done. Thank you, sir. John from Huntsville's awesome monologue. Phil, welcome back to Right Side Radio. Just wondering, are you going in for all 3 hours? Yeah. Yeah, I am. Yeah, I am. And I'm glad of it. All right, listen, we're headed to a break. We'll come right back. I'll get a few more text messages upon the return, and we'll kick off the election rundown. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one right here, Alabama, y'all. I'm talking about this show goes like way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville and Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi all thrown in just for good measure. So a few more text messages so I can stay caught up with you. Tom from Tanner says, can you find out which Alabama congressmembers voted to put Amendment 1 on the ballot in a primary? No, it doesn't work that way, Tom. It's a totally different thing. In fact, I'll talk about that in just a minute. And that Amendment 1 was not near as bad as people make it out to be. I can tell you why it was necessary. It's got nothing to do with integrity and ethical behavior. It's not sneaky. In fact, I voted for it, and I'll tell you why here in just a minute. But that was nothing to do with Congress. Those are members of the Alabama State House and Senate. So, Tom, I'll get back to that question momentarily. Clint from Tony, as always, your monologue is on point. I fervently pray it'll be heard and taken to heart by everyone who heard it. Thank you, Clint. Appreciate you, man. John from Harvest says, Phil, I love the monologue. Time to gird your loins as this election season is going to get very, very ugly. The administration has already shown the extent they will go, but with falling poll numbers, they will be striking out as a cornered, like a cornered rat. Keep the faith, move to the sound of the guns. John in Harvest. You are so correct, sir. Yeah, you know what? He makes a great point. Brace yourselves. Just go ahead and plan on it being ugly. Just plan on it. I mean, if it's not ugly, great, but brace yourselves for it to be ugly. They have already proven that they will do everything in their power to cheat, to lie, to use lawfare. I mean, it's unreal already, and they're about to know for a fact they've got Trump and they can't get around him, so now they're going to just go ahead and attack. Larry, the Tri-State Trucker, says, Tri-State Trucker here, listening in on YouTube in Southwest Tennessee. Can you crank up the volume, please? Okay. I don't know that we can crank it up any further there, Larry, but thanks. Jeff from Indiana says, Phil, it's good to have you back. After last Friday, I thought maybe Joe's hairy legs might have done you in. I think what got me more than anything was when you said him licking the windows. That really got me on the short bus. Jeff from Indiana, thank you, bro. Crystal, cousin Crystal from Moulton says, I think I'd like to move to North Carolina. Now Chief Highstepper ain't cutting it. Wow. Yes. Little Bird from Coleman says, more government seats and electoral votes in almost every state that can help strengthen conservative votes. And I see what you're saying now, Little Bird. I appreciate the clarification. Thank you very much. We did pick up more, and that does kind of lock us into better electoral positioning. And then Steve from Tennessee says, Dale Jackson said today that Nikki Haley was Trump's best hope for vice president. What's he smoking? She can't keep her word. No way to Nikki for VP. She's not going to be VP. I cannot see that. I cannot see that. I think if she had wanted to be VP, she could have stepped out of this race a long time ago instead of making him spend, you know, huge amounts of campaign funds just to continue campaigning for her, against her, I mean. All right, so listen, we're doing this thing, election rundown. Now, there has been, in my opinion, a great deal of misinformation about what Amendment 1 was. So here's the deal. And I saw this, I can't tell you how many times, when I was in the legislature. There's a thing that's required by the Constitution that says that the number one priority, in fact, really the only priority, is for legislators to go to Montgomery and pass a budget, period. That's the biggest thing. And I get that. The problem is, because they're part-time legislators, they're not usually able to get as much information as they need to see the budgets, to recognize the line items, to go through it with detail until they get there. So they're not going to pass it in the first few days. They're going to have budget hearings literally 2 days before the session starts. They're going to have budget chairmen who could tell them what they think has been going on, but most of the body is still picking up where they are when they get there, I mean. So there's that. So in order to pass anything while they're waiting on the budget to get finished, you don't want to just sit around and twiddle your thumbs. You got to pass other things. You got to pass bills that deal with roads and bridges and mental health and schools and whatever else while you're waiting on the budgets to get finalized. In order to pass anything, there's a procedural thing they do called passing a budget isolation resolution. It's called a BIR. And so in order to do another piece of legislation before budgets are completed, you have to go first to the microphone and request permission to bring up this bill and then move for passage of the BIR. And you can actually lose the opportunity to even debate good legislation because somebody wouldn't give you their vote on the BIR, which is purely procedural. But it stops the ability to go forward and just handle something. Democrats have used this as a stalling tactic for years because they can debate and even filibuster just the BIR and never even get to the bill. And then when you finally get to the vote on the BIR, then you've got to do the debate all over again on the bill itself. So in order to preserve the opportunity to keep things moving, on just some things, local bills, for instance, Local bills are things that your local municipalities or county governments might need, but it has to run through Montgomery because of the way our archaic constitution is set up. In order to get some local bills out of the way and to be able to expedite those and not have to have them all piled up at the end, because local bills come in fast and furious. I mean, everybody wants Sunday alcohol sales or the ability to do something for, you know, setting up a new entertainment zone in their community or whatever else, and it all requires somebody to go down there and do a local bill. And so in order to get those local bills through without having to worry about them, they were moving for Amendment 1 to be approved by the voters to say that upon passage of Amendment 1, we will be allowed to then expedite the processes of doing the local bills without a BIR. Okay.
I'm glad you clarified that up, because I didn't understand that.
I don't think most people. In fact, I saw so much misinformation being put out there about it.
I know.
I even saw Dale Jackson railing against it, how he helped get it killed. Why? All you did was slow down the legislative process.
Exactly. And I don't understand it, so I Googled it, and I still didn't understand it.
Oh, believe me, brother. I read it yesterday. I lived it for 8 years, and I still had to go look it up to make sure that's what I was reading. I hate the way they write those ballots.
And I think a lot of voters probably voted no because they didn't understand it.
Because they didn't understand it.
Yes.
Exactly. And that's just it. And so the Tom from Tanner a minute ago, who was saying that about why would they put that on the ballot? In my opinion, putting an amendment on a primary election instead of a general, well, it's not trying to sneak it through. You can't sneak something through when it's on a public ballot, sir. It's on a public ballot. That's not sneaky. They put it on the first available one because they're in session right now, and wouldn't it be nice to be able to make use of that while they're already down there? And now, because people didn't understand it and some people chose to rail against it thinking it was some kind of government sneaky plan, we'll just have to go ahead and let Democrats keep filibustering the BIR and let the local bills pile up.
It would have been nice if they had like some subtext there for like layman's terms.
Listen, they did a horrible job on this one. This is one of those where I'm thinking, fellas, if you wanted Amendment 1 to pass, could you have just done a little work to explain it to the people?
Yes.
But yeah. All right, I got to do some other things. I just spent freaking 10 minutes on the BIR. Okay, that's what happens in the legislature. The BIR takes up all the time. All right, so listen, I know you saw it. I know everybody expected it. But last night was basically a Trump fest. It just was. It may have been a record, by the way. Super Tuesday has never been that much of a runaway that I recall. Now, Reagan did have a great time in Super Tuesdays, but Super Tuesdays is really a creature of fairly recent years, and it's huge in terms of how many states were in here? Let me see. I got the number right here. I'm trying to think. Was it 14 states? Anyway, the bottom line is this. Trump won every single one of them except for Vermont. Vermont actually went to Nikki Haley, but only by 4 points. He was a complete blowout, like record-setting numbers. In Alabama, he won by like 70 points. Now, I'm looking at the numbers that were right around 95% of the vote being counted, so it could change slightly from what I've got printed out here. But in Alabama, he wins by like 70 points. Good gosh, that's like, you could run unopposed and still not get 70% of the vote. Alaska, 75 points. Arkansas, by 58 points. Y'all, listen, I won my last race by 4 points, and that was comfortable. That was a lot. That was fine. As long as you got, you know, 50.05%, you're okay. He comes out with, you know, California, he still had 60 points on her. Led by 30 points in Colorado, the state where they tried to throw him off the ballot. In Iowa, he wins by 90%. Iowa, 90%. In Maine, he wins by 46. In Massachusetts, by 23. In Minnesota, by 40. Massachusetts and Minnesota could care less about Republicans, generally speaking. He won big. North Carolina, he won by 50 points. Oklahoma by 66, Tennessee by 57, Texas by 60, Utah. He only won by 17 points, which is one of his smallest spreads. He won Virginia by 29. He lost Vermont by 4. So that was a blowout. Well, this morning, you've probably already seen it, but this morning at around 10 a.m., Nikki Haley finally suspended her campaign. Wow. So 13 months after she launched it, according to this piece on Fox News, Nikki Haley suspended her campaign. She did not endorse Trump. Don't know what she's going to do. Her words, she said, it's now up to Donald Trump to earn the votes of those in our party and beyond it who did not support him, and I hope he does that. Well, by her saying, I hope he does that, she's saying, I hope he earns our votes. That's a slightly veiled way of saying, yeah, we got to get behind him. Yeah, so he swept 14 out of 15 states on Super Tuesday. Here's the line I was looking for. But then Trump sent out word. He said, I'd like to invite all Haley supporters to join the greatest movement in the history of our nation. And he's telling them he's going to represent everybody. And I believe he will. And listen, if you're waiting for the perfect candidate, you'll never find him. If you're waiting for the church that has the perfect pastor, you'll never go to church. If you're waiting for the business that has the absolute perfect products, you'll never buy anything. If you're waiting for the perfect pizza, you'll never eat another pizza. You find the best one and you go with it. And that's what we got right now. Whether you voted for Trump or not, and I've got some conservative brethren and sistren out there who are conservative, some even sort of libertarian, who can't stand Trump. It is time to get over it. If you vote in Alabama, the election has now concluded for you in the primary season, and you go to the general election, what are you going to do? Vote Ron DeSantis on principle? No. You're going to vote to beat Joe Biden. If you're not voting for Trump, at least vote against Joe Biden. That's what you got to do. One of the, let's see, where is it? I had a place in here. One of the members of Haley's staff said, yeah, Haley didn't endorse Trump, but Representative Ralph Norman of South Carolina, who's one of his top surrogates, said, if not today, she will support the former president. He believes she's going to come around to do that soon. She probably just needed a day to catch her breath. Okay, maybe so. But Fox News, contributor Carl Rove said, Haley's solid support in a bunch of the Super Tuesday states says the high command at Team Trump ought to be concerned about unifying the Republican Party because there is still some work to be done. And I agree with that. I think Karl Rove is one of those very politically savvy individuals who knows that there are things that have to be said whether you want to say them or not. One of the things that has to be said right now is yesterday proved that we have a somewhat divided Republican Party. The numbers were way out there in Trump's favor, but all those who voted for Nikki Haley and even some who voted for others need to recognize that that won't work in the general election. Whether you like him or not, would you rather have four more years of Joe Biden? And I'll be honest with you, I don't think we can afford it. Got to take a break right now. We'll do that, and I'll come right back, and I'll tell you about some other statewide races, some that I cared about deeply because I know the people personally. You guys stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like making common sense like a superpower. Hey, John from Huntsville has texted in, by the way. He says, Phil, you just earned massive extra credit points for saying you voted yes on Amendment 1 because I had to listen to Dale Jackson say how he alone persuaded his listening audience to vote no on Amendment 1. But you know what? He says his rant didn't persuade me because I voted yes. There you have it. All right, so some other races. Last week, we had two people who I consider to be strong friends in the studio, actually. One was Brian Taylor running for Chief Justice, and the other was Charlotte Meadows running for State School Board. And I will be honest with you, I am chagrined to hear. And by the way, they were running against people that I have no problem with, except that these were my friends, too, that were running. But yeah, Brian Taylor did not win the race for Chief Justice, I'm sorry to say. Justice Sarah Stewart will now go on to be Chief Justice, I'm sure, because I don't think there is a Democrat in that race, and if there is, they won't win. But I hate it because I think Brian Taylor was eminently qualified and had a great grasp of what it takes to not just be a judge, our appellate level judge, but also to be an administrator, which is what that job is. The other one was State School Board. Charlotte Meadows did not win that race. She was in studio with us, I think, was it Friday? But Charlotte Meadows lost to Kelly Mooney, who I also know Kelly Mooney, and she's a great person. I love her husband, too, Arnold Mooney. He's in the State House, very conservative, one of the most conservative members of the body. But Charlotte Meadows has been my friend, and she even campaigned for me back in the day. So it's hard to see those two friends go down. That's what happens, though. But I did have one that I was just excited about winning, and that's down in two of them, actually. And that's down in Congressional Districts 1 and 2. How many times we talked about on this show that the legislature drew the lines as they're required to do, and the court said, no, we don't like your lines. And eventually the court said, we'll just draw them for you. And they drew new lines. And all of a sudden, Freedom Caucus Congressman Barry Moore, who I am, I'm a big fan of, served together in the state legislature, was Congressional District 2, was drawn out of his own district. And if he was going to stay in, he had to run against Congressman Jerry Carl, who was much more centrist from Mobile. Barry Moore won big last night. I don't mean like a little bit. He won big. Like he won by like, I think like 6 points. Let's see what I got it right here. How much was it? No, it wasn't that big. It was more like about 3.5 points. Because I think it scaled up and down. But yeah, 1819 News reports that Barry Moore tops Jerry Carl in the Alabama 1 Slugfest. Well, that was big doings, and he immediately got out there and thanked God and his family and the different voters who had been there with him and the staff who had worked with him. Barry Moore is extremely conservative. He's already talking right now about rejecting some of Biden's spending policies. I saw it on Twitter a few minutes ago. The other one who I serve with in the Senate, who's been on the show multiple times, is Dick Brubaker. So the Alabama District 2, the one that was vacated by Barry Moore, Alabama District 2, the new congressional lines, well, it was a wide open seat. So all God's children decided to run for that one. I mean, we had a host of them. We had like 7 Republicans and 7 Democrats all running for that one seat. Whoop, whoop. Well, with that many, you can guarantee there's going to be a runoff. There's no way, hardly any way, for someone to get over 50%. So you're going to wind up with the top two, and we did. And Dick Brubaker is the top. He had the most votes of any Republican, but even that was only 39.6%. So there was some wondering about whether he could make it all the way, but he came out with 39.6%. Second place was Caroline Dobson, who's I've been in state politics now for years, working with the state party, been on the executive committee, and none of us have ever met Caroline Dobson. But she's making a really good showing, and she came in second place with like 26.5%, beat out State Senator Greg Allbritton. So right now we got a runoff between Brubaker and Dobson on the Republican side. And then the funny thing is, we got a runoff on the Democrat side, which we knew we would, but it's Shamari Figures from Mobile and House Minority Leader Anthony Daniels from Huntsville. Neither one of them really live in the district. So Shamari Figures has been living in D.C., where he worked for Barack Obama and served on the staff of Attorney General Merrick Garland. Wow, there's a pedigree. And Anthony Daniels lives in Huntsville, but they both ran for it, and the runoff is now going to be between two people who have not lived in the district in, you know, maybe years. All right, coming up next, we'll be with former Supreme Court Justice Glenn Murdoch. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.